Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Richest Men in Town podcast. I'm Mike Freeman, and along with my good friend and co-host Tyler Gould, we're excited to welcome you to our little podcast project. Tyler and I are just a couple of middle-aged husbands and dads driven to live our best lives. We want to be better every day, so here we'll be sitting down with great people. Not famous people, but great people that we admire, to learn their secret to living the rich life. Probably not the rich life you're thinking of. Our guests come in humbled and surprised at the invitation and hopefully leave feeling proud and grateful, realizing just how good they really have it. So pull up a chair, stay a while, and raise a glass with us as we toast our guests to the richest men in town.
Mike, you were in Crescent City with the family, yeah?
Yeah, I had to check on mom. This is how quickly time is rolling in the Freeman house. We took her Christmas present.
Oh man.
We delivered her Christmas present.
Did you deliver last year? Like last or this, or we're future delivering? What are we doing?
Oh no. It's in the past.
Okay.
And it was
okay.
Like, Merry Christmas, happy birthday. Because her birthday's next week, right? So it's like, I'm like the worst son ever. And I got this podcast about being a good son, right? About being there for people that matter. And it's like, mom, sorry. we got a senior and he's busy every weekend. We're trying to make it a family trip, and so here we are March and we finally get up there, so you know, whatever.
Hey, it's good. And then, you know, and then the entire community of Crescent City loses power, and you know, it is something like out of a movie somewhere, right?
So this episode is brought to you by the Hiuchi Cafe.
Okay.
Hiuchi Cafe is up in the canyon up in Crescent City. We're having I've been told it is the best burger in the region, so
I gotta go there and
experience this. And all of a sudden, yes, the lights go doop doop doop, like
wow,
shut it down. And there's no, and we're maybe 15 miles inland from the coast,
yeah.
And from there out to Crescent City, no power, you know. So
that's wild, man. So did you get the burger before the power went out?
No, but they continued to serve. It got a little smoky, so we opened up the windows, and boom, they brought me a bacon Swiss burger, and I got to give it a solid 8.
Okay, an 8's not bad. Yeah,
eight's not bad.
Yeah, and plus, I think, you know, you could give them a little bit of a bump for wrapping things up in the dark back there. Yeah. Seems a little dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, I think that my wife actually had the better burger, cause she went with like the Western and it had the onion ring on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. You can't go wrong when you throw an onion ring on a burger. You're
but it's that, it's one of those things. It's like standing like a foot off your plate and you're like, how in the world am I going to eat this? And she definitely had some bun ratio issues, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden you're halfway through and like you don't have a top bun.
Yeah, you're just holding this patty in your hand. I mean, that's a little problematic, man.
It's a problem. So you gotta be careful. But hey, I gotta tell you something. So I'm up there hanging out with mom. We're talking a little podcast and just like, how's it going? And letting her know, you know, hey, we're zeroing in on 100 episodes and just and that. And so I was like, you know what? Mom, one of these days, I'm gonna be able to tell you that your son has a podcast that is like on the charts.
A charted podcast.
Yeah. So I'm throwing this out there, right? Like one day, mom, we're gonna be on the charts. And I'm like, okay, well, let me Google this chart business. So maybe we're already there, right? So I'm like, maybe
the
suspense
is killing me, man. Yeah. Where are we at, man?
So I jump on Google. And I, you know, I type in something like most popular podcasts in America or something.
Okay, that was probably a little aggressive. Maybe you should have said like listened to podcasts in America.
No,
maybe
I was like, most popular chart. Podcasts, right? And then it gives me what's on Apple. And I'm like, well, hold on. I know Joe Rogan's on there and he's not on this list. So let's not just look at Apple. And by the way, you know, we're on all of the platforms. So let's not limit ourselves. So finally, I get on this Chartables and I type in. And it's like, search for the podcast. And I'm like, I start typing in Richest Men in Town and it automatically populates us.
Okay.
And I was like, we're already coming up on the search. It's like, this may be something, right? So I click on it. Sure enough, Tyler Gould, we are on the charts.
Okay.
Check this out.
Okay. Yeah.
We are the number one
Of what?
Rated okay. Family podcast in the country of Tanzania.
And you know what? For some reason, that bit of information makes me feel better than any other country that you could have mentioned right there. Because I'll tell you this. Our friends in Tanzania, they have good taste. They know they know what they want.
And really, that's just the best snowball on top of the mountain. Not that Tanzania has snow. I don't think they do. But yeah. It's rolling. It's going to roll. It's going to roll from that point, and it's going to get big. Yes. And pretty soon, it's only a matter of time, man.
Yes. All those other very small neighboring countries will begin.
Which you can't even name.
Cannot name.
Tanzania, I couldn't place you on a map. No, we love you.
We do.
And we know the secrets to a rich man's life is just as universal, right? It's just as obvious and guy next door in Tanzania as it is here in the United States of America.
Yeah. And so, what I would say to our guests in Tanzania that are living a rich life, shoot us an email. Send us a message. We want you on the show with us. Come on.
Yeah. And if email isn't there yet,
carrier pigeons. If put that note on that ankle of that pigeon and you send it out. It'll end up right here.
I think we just went down to number
two. Oh, no. Did we just drop
to number two in Tanzania?
Oh, man. All right. I apologize.
Well, okay. So let me throw this out there. So we got an official sponsor. So this episode is brought to you by the Hayuchi Cafe.
Yeah.
Probably the best burger in the extreme north coast of California, right? So we'll give you that.
Yeah.
Hit them when the power's on. It's even better.
Right? Yeah, it's probably a 9. It was
let me just tell you what this what this episode is not brought to you by.
Okay.
So my wife, bless her heart, has been doing some research.
Okay. Research is always a dangerous thing when the wives.
It is. Yeah. It is. Tyler, I don't know. Are you a Buff Puff guy?
We
had this conversation.
We have not had this conversation. I do not know what a Buff Puff is, and I feel like I'm going to be surprised by what it is because in my mind already, I'm conjuring up something totally different, I'm sure.
I'm just talking shower protocol, right? Are you Buff Puff? Are you loofah? Like, my wife has found out that possibly Buff Puffs might have bacteria.
Okay. Okay.
So she jumps on Google and buys a how am I going to describe this? It is a shower brushing glove.
Okay. Wait, what's the purpose of this? To shower, to clean yourself or clean the shower?
To clean yourself. You apply the soap and you do this thing.
Okay.
And it's to replace, and it's more clean antibacterial than the Buff Puff or the loofah.
Okay. Now, if you're putting something on your hand that is the shape of your hand, why not just put the soap in your hand at that
That's
point?
What I'm talking about. Right? Okay. I'm a soap guy.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like a bar of soap guy.
Okay.
I'm holding the bar of soap, right? I've tried the Dr. Sasquatch.
Okay.
I've tried that. I'm not a big fan. I'm just a dove, straight dove.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Straight dove. But I am 100% with you. And Kelly has informed me that the hand doesn't exfoliate the skin enough.
Well, did you tell her that your hands are dry as the desert sun and they're rough as...
So the idea is that this thing takes the shape of the hand, but it doesn't have the pockets where possibly bacteria can collect. And so this thing's terrible, Tyler. Terrible. Okay. I tried it one time and I threw it away.
I have one more question. When you're done Buff Puffing with the glove, right? You're doing your thing. Do you then remove the gloves and then wash your hands because the hands are not getting cleansed at that point? Or,
well, okay. Let's get real.
Okay.
The scrubbing brush glove thing has little inserts where you're supposed to put your fingers.
Right.
Well, my sausages don't fit in the grooves for the fingers.
Do they have a fingerless glove version?
So I'm a mess, and I don't trust it if it doesn't lather.
Yeah.
And this thing doesn't lather.
Yeah. Got to have a signal that soap's working. The lather is the signal.
Soap and toothbrush and shampoo, I got to have lather. Yeah, if I don't have lather, I don't trust it. It's not working. And so I have gone back to my Dove, and that's it.
Well, I think the obvious compromise here is to go back to the bar of soap, but use it while holding it in the glove. Right. So then that way there's both are being utilized. That's an interesting.
Now I prepared myself. I prepared my wife and said, hey, just be prepared. If this doesn't work, be prepared to see it in the trash and don't be offended.
Okay.
Because she got me a blue one and her a pink one.
Okay.
And the blue one's in the trash.
So the blue one did not work, but the pink one is working.
Hey, but I do feel validated that you're not a Buff Puff guy. You didn't even know what a Buff Puff is.
No idea. I'm a loofah guy though. I am a loofah guy. Is that the same thing? I mean, what are we talking about? I don't even know.
I think loofah is like a natural product, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So I go that route. You know.
Are you a daily loofah? Or because I just thought you were a bar soap guy.
Not a bar soap, man. No. Look, little pump on the loofah.
Okay.
Off you go. You're off and running, man.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
You got your own loofah?
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, I think my wife would prefer that everything that is a product of mine remain far from her products.
Yeah. Yeah. I got problems with that. I got protocol problems with that. You know, like I get out of the shower, a towel's a towel. And I'm told, no, you have your towel. She has her towel. And I'm like, I just need a towel.
Yeah, I'm with Kelly on that one. You definitely have to have your own action over there. So interesting. Yeah, I'm gonna have to do some research now that I've been warned that I may be just.
Oh yeah, don't even
cover myself in bacteria.
Honestly, don't even Google loofahs because loofahs are the worst thing you could use. The worst.
All right. That's good. I was wondering what that strange smell was after I was finished showering. I'm like, man, I really feel like I should smell better than I do right now. Seemed like a lot of work for not coming off a little bit better, but you know.
Yeah. What's moving in Tyler Gould these days? How are the Goulds doing?
Good, man. We're, you know, I think we're in the same boat as you to a certain degree in the Freemans, in that we both have seniors in high school, right? Mm-hmm. So we're sort of like we're in this interesting countdown that we don't really want to acknowledge is happening, but every day when something comes up, it's like, well, this could be the last time that we, you know, fill in the blank, right? So yeah, I mean, you know, it's good. It's fun. Life is great right now, but there is sort of this feeling of impending separation that's headed our way.
Yeah, it actually just popped up. We're in the car coming home from Crescent City and we started doing some math in our head and it was like, "Whoa."
Yeah.
That's like a couple months away.
Right, right.
And we know how quickly a couple months go, and then blink of an eye it's like, whoa. And that's it for us, like, right?
Yeah. So you guys are down to the empty nester syndrome, but yeah, so you know that. But again, and Mike, you and I have had this conversation many times, right? That even though some of these things that we experience in life are maybe not the most pleasant, if we had to write a book, this is how we would write it, right? So I try to remind myself of that all the time, that, you know, even though, you know, because I have fun with all my kids and watching, you know, this will be the third one that's, you know, getting out of the house. And yeah, it's fun. It's fun, but it's a little sad at the same time.
Yeah. How's your senior doing?
I mean,
how is she doing with things?
She seemed, you know, she's such an easy kid. You know, she's so mellow about everything. It's kind of hard. I don't get a lot of ups and downs with her. You know, she's pretty even all the time, but I think she's excited to go, you know, especially after the not getting into the school that she was hoping to get into. She's kind of come to terms with that. And she's come up with a plan B that she feels excited about now. So, you know, so things are good, man. Things are good on that front. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been having a little conversation because honestly, it's been pretty easy to be Abe Freeman's parent. I'm just going to be upfront and honest with you.
Right.
But there's been a little wiggle, right? A little wiggle. And I think last time we got together, I was big on Matthew 5:6 and hungering and thirsting, or maybe that was a Mitch Lowther conversation, right? And
yeah.
And now I'm kind of on this, I'm feeling a little bit of discouragement.
Okay.
With the end of Matthew.
Okay.
So Matthew, in probably the verse that cuts the hardest for all of us, Matthew 5:48, when the Savior says, "Be ye therefore perfect."
Yeah.
"As your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." And I've had conversations with Abe recently where no one's perfect, right?
Right.
But I think sometimes my expectations might be a little high.
Yeah.
And then even my expectations for myself might be a little high. And the struggle with our imperfections has been on my mind. Even with my own personal self, borderline discouragement. And we know where that comes from. Right. But like I've felt that a little bit. So when you think of that, "Be therefore perfect," talk me off the ledge here, man. What's he commanding us? What's he asking us to do?
Well, honestly, when I read that, I always think of Bednar, you know, talking about perfection is found in the journey, you know? And so I really feel like that. For me, when I read that, I think of the end journey, right? Of like the end result, and that the word striving comes to mind for me. So I think that if we're in pursuit of perfecting ourselves, of becoming better, then that's, to me, that's the journey of perfection, right? I mean, I think that the idea that we're going to somehow attain this level of perfection here in this life, you know, that's discouragement. You know, I think that's discouraging. Yeah. So I just think that, you know, we have to, and we've had a lot of guests that have talked about this idea of extending grace to ourselves, you know, because I'm with you, you know, to a certain degree in that I have high expectations for myself. And when I fall short of those expectations in whatever way that is, I can beat myself up pretty good about everything, you know, whether it's professionally, personally, you know, spiritually, I mean, wherever it's at, I can really kick my own rear end pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think that being willing to allow myself to understand that, hey, it's a journey, it's a process, and I'm committed to the process, even though today I didn't hit a 10 out of 10, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think too, in our footnotes in the LDS, in the King James that we're using, there's a little help for me in that verse talking about perfect being whole or complete.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So like for those listening, I'm not trying to be the perfect that Christ was. Like there's a difference, right? He is saying, "Be therefore perfect even as I am." He was perfect, sinless, right? Almost like Brad Wilcox, you know, worthiness is not flawlessness.
Right. Yeah.
I am not saying that I'm trying to live. Of course, I'm trying to avoid sin. I'm trying to avoid mortal. I'm trying to avoid those flaws. But we know he did that, right? He lived that life. I'm trying to be complete. I'm trying to be whole. And I think that that well-rounded, that developed as he was, that's the journey. And currently, that, I mean, that's the struggle in a couple aspects, you know?
But I think sometimes, Mike, that, and I think that maybe you can relate to this, maybe not, but, you know, we've had these discussions about capacity before and the amount that we're able to do, right? And I really do believe that we have this endless capacity, you know, that we can tap into. But I think sometimes, you know, I'm guilty of overreaching, you know. I pile it on so high because I know that, hey, I can do that. Like, just keep throwing it on me and I can handle that. And I do get through it, but there's certain areas that are neglected in order for me to complete all of that. Do you know what I mean? And so I think that sometimes it's good to know what your healthy limits are. I think it's good to push yourself, but I think it's also good to know that, hey, you know, here's the priorities of my life. And I don't want to get to a point where I'm not giving the full attention that's needed to the areas that should be priorities, you know?
Yeah.
You could neglect something that's a priority with something that's really good. Do you know what I mean? Like, you could be involved in the best of things, but it's going to take away from the thing that is the most important thing.
Yeah. And I think last time we talked, I let you in that I'm subbing seminary.
Yeah.
And secretly, actually, I came clean with President. State president, and he was okay with it, but but that takes me away from the why, right? I was finally getting into that YMCA and that exercise routine, and so now, you know, I've been doing that a couple of weeks, and so again, that aspect of my life is starting to slip a little bit, right? And the idea behind turning gears versus spinning plates, and spinning plates isn't sustainable. How do we get into that power of habit so that their gears turning in our lives?
Yeah.
So that spiritual, financial, emotional, right, relational, all of those things are churning. And maybe like gears, different size, right? Different gears or different aspects of our life take on, you know, maybe different proportion in our lives. But like the idea is they're still churning and you're not running around scrambling, trying to spin.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
So let me share this with you. President Lorenzo Snow had some thoughts on this verse in Matthew, verse 48. So he's got a couple of paragraphs. I'm going to read and we'll just break it down. I'm curious to get your thoughts, okay?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
All right. So President Lorenzo Snow says this. We learn that the Lord appeared to Abraham and made him very great promises, and that before he was prepared to receive them, a certain requirement was made of him, that he, Abraham, should become perfect before the Lord. So that Matthew isn't the only time that command to be perfect is included in the scriptures, right? And the same requirement was made by the Savior's disciples, that they should become perfect, even as he and his Father in heaven were perfect. This I conceive to be a subject that concerns people, and I wish to offer a few remarks by way of suggestion for the reflection of those whom it concerns, right? So for anyone listening that is concerned with the Savior's command to be perfect, this is what Lorenzo Snow says. The Lord has not made a requirement that cannot be complied with. He has not commanded us without
something that we can't do.
Without providing a way for it to be done.
Right.
But on the other hand, he has placed for the use of folks the means by which they can conform to his holy order. He gave him the means by which he could become qualified to obey that law and come up fully to the requirement. We have the privilege of the Holy Ghost. As we are told, the gospel was preached to Abraham, and through that gospel, Abraham could obtain that divine aid, which would enable him to understand the things of God. And without it, no man could do so. Without it, no man could arrive at a state of perfection before the Lord. So Lorenzo Snow says, you've got help.
Right.
We've got the Holy Ghost. by the power of the Holy Ghost, we might know the truth of all things. We might be able to receive revelation. We might be able to know the things that we need to do. He says this, it requires time. It requires much patience and discipline of the mind and heart in order to obey this commandment to be perfect. And although we may fall short at first in our attempts, yet this should not discourage us from endeavoring to exercise a determination to comply with the great requirement. So we're going to fall short. When we experience trying moments, then is the time for us to avail ourselves of that great privilege of calling upon the Lord for strength and understanding, intelligence and grace by which we can overcome the weakness of the flesh against which we have to make a continual warfare.
Right.
So we talk a little bit about that standing up while we're in it, right?
Yeah.
And calling in prayer, sincere, honest accounting for mistakes so that that can serve as a divine guide for us.
Yeah. I mean, I think it just goes back to that word. For me, it all goes back to that word striving. You know, I think that if we get caught up in the idea of perfection, it's almost insurmountable. You know, I think that if we're looking at how, you know, it's that idea of how do you eat an elephant, you know, one bite at a time. I think that's sort of the process, you know. I mean, if we're striving, if we're self-evaluating, if we're being introspective, you know, and we're taking an honest accounting of where we are at any given moment. And I think that's, you know, we had this discussion today. It was about what's your foundation? How sure is your foundation? And the you know, that question in of itself is self-reflection, right? If we can look honestly at it and say, okay, this is where I'm at. This is where I need to adjust. This is how I'm going to be better tomorrow. Then I think we're moving in the right direction. I think it's when we're complacent, or when we look at that verse and we say, that's overwhelming. I can't obtain that. So therefore I won't try to obtain that. Then that's where the struggles begin, you know?
And I think sometimes it might be smart that you're talking about over striving, right? Or sometimes right. It might be smart to actually, I don't know, it's not take a step back, but do foundation work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
I think that's so important. I think that we have to be able to, you know, it's okay to say, in fact, if we're not saying to ourselves, I'm not all there in this area of my life, then we're not being honest in any evaluation that we're having, right? If we're looking at ourselves and going, yeah, dude, I'm doing pretty good. I just keep on pushing forward. Well, I think I got this. Then we're not taking a good look, because I think that the hard work is to be able to say, yeah, you know what? I'm doing pretty good here, but I'm not doing as good as I could here. And so let me see what I can do to tighten this up. Let me see what I can add in here. Let me see what I can remove, right? That's going to give me some more capacity in this area.
What I would think, all of those things are done prayerfully.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Right. So as we're looking at what things do I need to stop doing, what things do I need to add to the things that I do on a regular basis, as we're prayerful about those things, we'll be able to receive revelation to do that foundation.
Yeah, and you look at the things what are the things that I'm doing that are good, and how can I do those things better? You know, how can I become more effective at it? How can I get, you know, if we're working out, right, we're running, the question is, well, how can I improve this time? How can I become, you know, better? And if we're not having that question, that discussion with ourselves about every area of our lives, as fathers, as husbands, as, you know, in our spiritual lives, in our professional lives, then we're really kind of missing just tons of opportunities that have the ability to just completely transform us.
Mm-hmm. So Lorenzo Snow concludes with this: do not expect to become perfect at once. If you do, you will be disappointed. Be better today than you were yesterday, and be better tomorrow than you are today. This is the part I love. The temptations that perhaps partially overcome us today Let them not overcome us so far tomorrow. Thus continue to be a little better day by day.
That's it, right?
So those things that we might be struggling with, struggle less tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
Not like a, it's not a polarity of like, this thing was in my life and tomorrow, by golly, this thing is not in my life and I'm not going to be that way, or I'm not going to do that thing. And the instruction here is be less tomorrow. Have right. it overcome you less tomorrow, that yeah. thing that yeah. you're struggling with, right? And that is the process of getting better, right? Like we talk about, beat yesterday.
Right.
If that situation kicked you in the shorts today,
yeah.
look back, do an autopsy on that, figure out what happened, and get ready tomorrow to respond differently. Right.
And I think, too, if that thing kicks you in the shorts a week from today, don't give up on the process. Because the fact that you're recognizing that it's kicking you in the shorts is part of the process, right? I think you're in a good spot if you're looking at it going, this thing is up in my business when I don't want it to be up in my business. If we're blind to that, and it's just something that becomes, you know, a habit that we're blind to, we've just accepted it, that's when we have a real issue, you know? I think if we're able to look at it and honestly say, okay, let me be less of this tomorrow, then I love that, man.
Well, and then we come across, in my mind, so there's this Erasmus quote that is talked about in a book I'm reading, and the quote is, the chief happiness for a man is to be what he is.
Okay.
And I'm struggling with, like, to be what he is almost feels like I am who I am.
Yeah.
And take it, leave it, I'm not going to change, right? And so, like, I think that there's that I can hold them both. I'm taking Brian Groh's advice here. I can hold these both. I can be me, because I'm having conversations with my missionary right now about being her.
Yeah.
But when I say, hey, be you, I'm not saying don't change.
100%. Yeah.
So that's that wrestle that I'm like, okay.
Well, it's that idea of being comfortable in your own skin, right? Like, right. Know who you are, you know, find the things that you can love who you are, and you should love who you are. And part of loving who you are is, gosh, you know, I'm pretty good. I love who I am. And guess what? I could be better tomorrow even. Right.
Okay. I think that's important though, right? That love who you are.
Yeah.
Is not a static thing.
Right.
I love where I'm at. I love this journey. I love the things I'm learning. I love the things that I'm becoming.
Yeah.
As I do these things. Right.
It's not
I love who I am. I'm done.
100%. I mean, I have this conversation with Ricky all the time. It's, I love where I'm at. I love what's going on. And here's the things that I want to do to be different. You know, those things coexist. And I think that they should, because if I love what I'm doing today and I'm willing to make some adjustments, man, how much is there to love tomorrow? You know?
Hold on. So let me get that. Let me go through that again. Right. Like,
yeah,
I love who I am.
Yeah.
And here are the things I'm about being better.
Here's the things that I want to change. You know, I love where I'm at. I love what's going on, and I love what we've done to be where we are. But mm-hmm. here's some things that we could change, and we could be even better. And to me, that's like that's powerful on an individual level. But as a couple, I mean, that's a big deal, right? I mean, I think that we're always looking for how can we be closer, how can we be, you know, accomplish the goals that we've set for ourselves. And
yeah, I think that puts a spin on one of our favorite questions that we ask our guests, right? Like, we always, as we're wrapping things up, we start throwing it ahead and we start looking at, like, what gives you hope these days and what are you excited about these days?
Yeah.
And I think that to have that answer be internal is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Right. I think the most of our guests talk about, oh, I'm so excited to see what my kids are up to. I'm so excited to see what the future brings for them. I'm so excited about this maybe aspect of my work.
Yeah.
But like, the idea is like, I'm so excited about who I'm going to become.
Right.
That is a pretty novel concept. We've been doing this, you know, 90 something episodes. And I think that the idea of that answer being an internal answer, that's pretty slick.
I'm excited about the potential of what I have, you know.
Yeah, let me tell you who I'm becoming.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about the things that I'm doing to change things I don't like about me.
Right. No, I love that idea as well. And I think, you know, from the first episode of RMIT till now, this has been the core of most of our conversations. And I think that it's good to see the evolution of that conversation, the evolution of what that looks like, because I think that I would have had a different answer 95 episodes ago than I have today, you know?
Yeah. And I think too, the disciple of Jesus Christ doesn't like the thing about themselves.
Yeah.
Right. But Satan would say, don't like you.
Right. Right.
Right. Those things that you don't like about yourself can be changed.
Yeah.
And Lorenzo Snow's all about prayerfully do the work, do the striving in the parameters of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, at that point, we're all knee deep in Ether 1227, right? I mean, is where we're at. So, and that's awesome, right? If that thought,
that's we have weaknesses so that we'll be humble.
Yeah.
The grace of Jesus Christ is sufficient for us to turn weak things into strong things.
Right.
And we've talked about this, where if you are admiring somebody for their strength, chances are earlier in their life, you rewind the tape, it was a weakness.
Yeah. 100%.
Right. Yeah, I love absolutely. How this guy is this way. I love how this woman is this way. I love how that family is this way. Chances are you lift up the hood, it wasn't always that way.
Well, and let's look back 95 episodes. Every person we've had on this podcast has been a conversation you and I have had that said, I love this guy or this gal because they are this way. And then we spend 2 hours and we find out exactly what that journey looked like to get to be this way. Right. And more often than not, it wasn't the prettiest journey, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Love it, man.
Pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited about where we're going, and I'm going to go ahead and just throw this out there. Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to a place where the richest man in town has never gone before.
Yeah.
And what that means is one of our next guests is going to actually be family.
Yeah. Yeah. that's interesting. I'm excited about it more because this part of the experiment is your family and not mine. So I'm excited about that, man. You'll break that open.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. But yeah, I have a brother, an amazing man. He's my younger brother, and he reached out and said, hey, can I come on and talk about the rich life we've lived? Can I come on and talk about the home that we grew up in? Yeah. Can I come on and share a little bit of the background and backdrop on the story of Mike and Josh? So
I love that. And look, to our friends in Tanzania, that's all it takes. You just reach out to us and we get you right on there. You know, that's how it works.
That's it, man. It doesn't take much. clearly, it doesn't take much to be a number one on the chart in Tanzania. But you know what? We'll take it. We got to start somewhere. And actually, who knows? That was probably part of our marketing strategy. We said, you know what? That's our target demographic. Yeah. Let's nail Tanzania, and then we'll grow from there.
I vaguely remember that conversation, and I'm excited that we've accomplished that goal.
That's where the dartboard landed. That's where the dart landed, right?
That's right, man. Yeah. But no, I'm excited, Mike. I'm excited to have your brother on with us next week, and I'm excited for the slate of guests that we have that we're looking at that are coming up after him, and this is a big thing. So we're celebrating a lot of things. We're celebrating daylight saving. We can now golf till late in the evening, and life is better. And you know,
March Madness.
There's a lot of good things. So.
Is it too much to ask for Coach K for a Cinderella, just a run for the ages, and he goes out on top?
Yeah, I am. You know, I'm not a Duke fan, but I am a Coach K fan, and I would not hurt my feelings one bit. So,
yeah, let's go.
Let's do it.
But he did call down the Thunder. They requested a particular, they requested the Midwest bracket, and that puts him in with Gonzaga. So here we go.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're going to, what did John Madden say? The road to for a champion goes through the sewer. So here you go. You got to go through the hard stuff first, man.
I'm looking forward to exciting things in our build up to episode 100 on the Richest Men in Town. So here we go.
Love it, man. Have a good night, bro.
You too.
All right. See ya.
Big Brother George, the richest man in town.